What's up, Cubs? Just sloppy as all fucking get out. Trapzilla City. Babe, I'm gonna keep dancing on that bridge till the stars come home.
And cheer up, babe.
Fucking knocked it out of the park, dude. What's up, Cubs? Welcome back to Cheer Up, Babe, the podcast. I'm your host, VJ Julio. This is episode 101. Welcome back to the den. Dude, it feels so good to be in triple digits. I don't know if you've been realizing, if you've been paying attention, but from the jump of this podcast, it's been 001, 002, 003 for the numbering schematics for the podcast. Because I was like, if I start a new podcast, I'm not going to stop until I get to at least triple digits. And we're in triple digits now, dude. And it feels so good. It feels so nice. Now, granted, it was a strain to break 99, okay? It was a little bit tough, but we got there, and we're here, and we're back in the den, and it's Monday again, and we're hippity-hoppity-bippity-boppity rolling, dude, and it is just, it's cyclical. We're back on that cycle. We're back on that cycle. Before we jump into the episode, and before we just get nice and cozy in our den, before we even posture up, slouch the fuck out, I gotta do the little announcements things. Go to cheerupbabe.shop to check out the new merch. A lot of you have been hopping on there ordering the new stuff. A lot of you hopped on and ordered some old stuff. The Don't Be a Bummer crew cut sweaters flying off the shelves. It's like, hey, those have been out for a year. All good. Not complaining, but there is some new on there, you know? But go check it out. Cheerupbabe.shop if you want to support the podcast. I will say that 15% of every single order for the next, oh, what did I say it was going to be? 44 days? Every single, or 15% of every single order for the next 44 days is going to directly into my bank account because your boy's got to get a new sleeve. So all of it, and then a remaining 85%, of profit, of course, because let's be real, I'm not really making shit off of this. It's just more of like my spending cash that I don't get yelled at about my wife because I'm not emptying the bank account. Even though, for the first time in my life, you want to know how you know you made it, okay? You want to know how you know the funds are in order? For the first time in my life, I can just go to the gas station and not hear about it, dude. Oh, game changer. Game changer. If you're not there yet, you'll get there at some point in your life. And when you get there, just being like, I'm going to go spend $13 and not think about it. You know, there's some sort of statistic, like if you really want financial freedom and you want peace of mind, you got to make like $350,000 a year because that's like everything is paid for and everything above that is just gravy because everything is in order and you just never have to worry about your bills and yada, yada, yada. No, dude. I could spend $13 at a gas station whenever the fuck I want. I don't have to hear about it. Made it. I'm going to stay right fucking here, dude. Right in the cozy spot, right? And we're just gonna squish on in, dude. Now, a lot of you, if you're watching on the YouTube, shout out to the new YouTube subscribers. We got like 25 of you this week. Cool. That was cool. That was a cool little bump. What's going on? Shout outs. Hope you're watching the full episodes, not just the clips, but it's all good. And it's really, really nice to see the Cubs. You know, the Cubs really put out this week. I mean, from a standpoint of like this being my pod and like knowing that I took 4 months off from releasing an episode and just being like, I'm going to come back and I'm going to give 15 listens. I'm going to come back and 15 people are going to click in and 9 of them are going to be relatives. You know, that's what that's always your worry. Cause it's like, I have people that have habits that they build, especially within this podcast, because we're big on development and habit building. We're big on it. Yeah, it's an escapism podcast. Yeah, there's a little bit of comedy sprinkled in. Sure, we do some silly anecdotes. Yeah, we make a lot of jokes. But at the end of the day, we are kind of focused on being better people, right? So I'm going, well, if that's something I preach and then I leave them hanging for 4 months, I'm going to come back and they're going to go, yeah, no, we're good. I listened to fucking, I replaced you with Armchair Expert or whatever the fuck, you know? But dude, Cubs put out for me this week. I mean, y'all felt good. Felt good to be back and to feel the support from y'all. I really appreciate y'all. We got such an awesome community of people here. You guys really, you are very, very validating in your kind words and your kind messages and the vulnerability that you show with me. I mean, last last week's unqualified dad advice segment, kind of, you know, where we kind of cracked open that concept of men versus women and the parameters around it. I was really open and honest and got real vulnerable with you in that moment, which is normal for the den, but you guys reciprocated that when you didn't have to. I mean, you guys aren't speaking into a microphone to me, but the fact that you guys reached out and shared your thoughts and hearts, we might jump into it at the end of the episode. I haven't decided yet, but it was really awesome. You guys are just the shit. You're absolutely the shit. And circling back on the challenge from last week, so I said that I want to start doing little challenges. I want to challenge myself. And my first challenge that I decided to kick out episode 100 was I want to do a 5-day fast challenge. Did I make it? You're going to have to wait and see. Okay? Because that video drops Friday, baby, on the Cheer Up Babe podcast YouTube channel. That video on whether or not I made it through a 5-day water fast out of fucking nowhere with zero doctor consultations and just did it raw dog. Just raw dogged it. Dude, I just impregnated a water fast. And if you want to see if it was successful and what happened throughout the week, you're going to have to check out that video on Friday. I will give you a few pointers, okay? Regardless of the amount of time that you do a water fast, doesn't matter. 2 days, 3 days, I'm assuming 21 days when you refeed, okay? And you follow all the parameters on how to feed yourself after a fast and you wake your digestive system up. Even if you follow all the guidelines, don't trust a fart. Okay, so, and now that we got that out of the way, let me tell you how your man's operates, okay? If you're watching on YouTube, you might have picked up on the hat I'm wearing, and you might be like, VJ, you're 31 now. And I would say, yes, but I'm also me, okay? And this hat is a very me hat. And people be like, VJ, what is that hat? What is shank it? What does that say? I can't really see it in the video because you don't have a high-quality camera, but what is that on your hat right there? Well, last week, I talked about how I'm an absolute slut for golf now, okay? Golf and I have a brutal and purely sexual relationship. So what does your mans do? Your mans picks up a hobby and he goes all in. He goes balls deep. He raw dogs it. So I go out and I buy all the stuff and I immediately become obsessed with getting good at it. And what does your man do? He goes out and gets a golf sponsorship. I am what I am. I'm a hooligan. They're sending me a random variety box. I'll show you guys what's up next week. It should be here by then. But yeah, if you go to Shank It Golf and you want to get some sick golf outfits, they have awesome holiday deals right now. But then if you also go at checkout, promo code OG Cub at checkout, that's OG Cub, baby doll. You're getting an extra 15% off of everything in your cart. No parameters around it. Just whatever the total of your cart is after all of the savings that they've already enacted, you throw OG Cub in on there, you get another 15% off. Shank It Golf. They have some really fun stuff. It's very in line with me because I'm not very, I don't care. And this might be a bad ad read, but I don't read ads. So they feel like they don't care. They release cool shit, but it's not like, you know how golf used to be hyper racist? Well, it's not like that anymore. And Shank It Golf is just like that. I think that's their tag. That's not their brand motto, but I'm making it their brand motto when I give shout outs in this podcast. Shank It Golf. Golf's not racist anymore. And they have sick gear on there. They have really fun shirts and they have cool hats and stuff like this. They have cool quarter zips. You can get a glove where if you flip someone off, it says you suck on the middle finger. I mean, that's Cheer Up Babe, the podcast all day. So they're sending me a variety box and I'll do a little try. Dude, I'll model for you. Okay. I'm going to model for you and you get to see what my legs look like. Actually, no, you get to see what my legs look like before then, because on Friday for the fast video, if you don't know me in real life, you're going to get to ascertain how tall I am. You can kind of watch that one and you can be like, how tall is he? You know, I've always kind of wondered, is he 6'2 or 5'6? There's also, of course, cameos with my kids. So just it's worth the click. But now that all the semantics are out of the way, dude, let's talk about how amazing Disney on Ice is. We're going to talk about the hard-hitting stuff here, okay? We talk about the stuff that really means the most. So Jordan used to tell me that her favorite memories from childhood were Disney on Ice when her Aunt Tonda would bring her to Disney on Ice. I think it was her Aunt Tonda. If it's not her Aunt Tonda, hey, aunt that took her, I'm sorry, okay? I'm bad at remembering exact details of stories that aren't mine, and that's my bad. Don't get upset. But Jordan would tell me that her some of her favorite memories in childhood was when she would get to go to Disney on Ice. All right. Now, for those of you that don't know, Disney on Ice is ass loads expensive. Okay. For a show, first show, dude, like you can go to an NFL football game and get that once in a lifetime experience, or you can go to Disney on Ice, bro. And one thing that you're going to 100% know about me already is that, hey, if Papa Cub has the choice between an NFL football game and Disney on Ice, what's he going to go to? He's going to go to Disney on Ice every fucking day of the week because he's girl dad, all right? He's got his two princess baby angel faces, and there and everything is everything. Everything is everything. Put it on a shirt. Everything is everything. And why would I go hang out in a stadium filled with dudes with other guys' names on their back when I could go to Disney on Ice that was Frozen and Encanto? Okay, it was Frozen plus Intermission, Snow Cone, Encanto, second screening. Okay, and it wasn't a screening, it was live. But you know what I mean. Jordan and I took the girls to Disney on Ice. First show was Frozen. Now, if one thing that you might not know is Frozen is the bee's knees at this point. All right, in our world, every song is memorized by the family. Gracie's third birthday was Frozen themed. She wore the dress. You saw it last episode in her cameo. Why did you see it last episode? Did you dress her up to be able to talk about this a week after the fact? Did you fabricate that? Or does she wear it 87% of the time and the other 13% that she's not wearing it, it's in the washer and dryer? Yes to the latter, dude. Dude, this girl wears the Frozen dress. She goes to school now. I mentioned that. She goes to school now. I cry. And then we pick her up from school and I'm happy. And then she won't tell me about it till nighttime. But when she gets home, it's like cute, adorable, perfect little girl outfit. Get this shit off of me. Where's my Frozen dress with the blue stains on it? Where is it? Because I'm Elsa. Because I'm home. So to be able to take these girls to Disney on Ice. Now, Lottie in Kanto. Forget it. Does she have an Encanto dress? Yeah. Was it Gracie's and then Lottie took it? Yes. 100%. Does Lottie bully her older sister? Oh, yeah. Yes. Next question. Keep the interview questions coming. I love it. Yeah. 100%, dude. So it was a win-win. Now, let me tell you from a parenthood standpoint what this did to me. That came out of nowhere. I just thought we were going to go to this place. It was going to be, you know, mid for me. And it was just going to be a nice experience to be able to take my kids to. They were going to be excited about it, which was going to make me happy. And then we were going to come home and it was going to be whatever. And then we get there and Frozen starts. And we have pretty good seating. We were sitting kind of in the middle of the arena. And the Frozen show starts and Elsa and Anna come skating on out, right? So it's just like the old school movie theaters. So like all of the seats in the stadiums were the fold-down chairs, right? Like classic stadium seating. They were the fold-down chairs. So Gracie was sitting there. The show starts. Gracie hops off. And she just gets on her knees. And the seats that are in the row in front of us, she just grabbed onto those seats. So she's on her knees on the floor trying to get 13 inches closer to the Disney on Ice show. Watched the whole show like that. 45 minutes, dude. She sat like that. Jordan and I kept being like, do you want to sit back here? She's like, nope. Just entranced, dude. Just entranced for 45 minutes. Absolutely all consuming. So Jordan and I are just giddy. We're just pigs and shit because it's like, they love it. And Lottie at first, I mean, Frozen on Ice. Disney on Ice is loud, you know, so, and it's bright. So at first Charlotte's like, Jesus, like that was Lottie's whole demeanor. She was like, the show starts and Gracie's like, zoom. Like, it's kind of like in that old Disney movie, The Greatest Game Ever Played, golf, when the guy like sets up at the tee and he goes to, before he takes a swing, he focuses on the flag and everything fades around him. That was Gracie. She just, zoom. Everything disappeared as she was into the show. Lottie, on the other hand, hi, everyone. Jesus. And then it's like, you're, it's okay, babe. Look, there's Anna and Elsa. Cool. Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. And then, of course, after like 45 seconds, she's like all in. And then they did all the classic songs. And it's just, it was awesome. You know, Christoph came out. Lottie was like, Christoph, daddy, Christoph. Like, so, so pumped. Because Charlotte is boy crazy. Like, if there's a little boy around, fucking forget it. Charlotte's all about it. There's another little girl around, Lottie's going to bully her. If there's another little boy around, Charlotte's going to shoot her shot. And that's so problematic for the next 16 years of my life. But all I am is excited about it, dude. They couldn't be more opposite, and I couldn't be more in love with that. But I'm not going to get too derailed on talking about my kids specifically, because we're talking about important things, Disney on Ice. So the Frozen show ends. Intermission happens. Time to go to the bathroom. Is it a nightmare zoo? Yes. But we go to the bathroom, and then we get snow cones, and then we let them pick out toys. I spent like $35 on a stuffed animal that cost 23 cents to make, without a doubt. But if you know, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not about that. It's about the whole experience for the kids, especially the first time. So, I mean, snow cones and shit like that aren't stuff that we feed our kids. We're not sugar parents, you know? We don't just like... Our kids don't eat crap, dude. There's a reason that I'm a good cook. It's because I cook all the time real food for my kids, because I know that that is what's making them develop, all right? I don't feed them full of shit, but it's about the experience, the snow cones. And now, there was a moment where get the snow cone, sitting down, Jordan takes Lottie to go get snow cones and stuff. And I'm sitting there with Gracie. And I'm sitting there, and there's like a little light show. They're cleaning the ice and stuff. And Gracie's just sitting there eating her snow cone, and I'm just looking at her. And I go, "You having fun?" And she was just like, "Yeah." Just like, she answered me like an adult, obvious, like classic. But that yeah, and the little side smirk, and the little just absolute contentment on her face. I openly cried in the intermission of Disney on Ice. And that's not something that you could have told me 5 years ago would be a part of my life, but that's a part of my life, and that's a story as we move forward, dude. And Jordan and I were just talking about it after the fact, where it's like, no, we're not rich. I mean, yeah, I keep a rake by my desk now, but we're not, you know, we're not rich. We're comfortable right now. We're not as stressed as we've been for the last 11 years of our relationship, but we can spend $13 at a gas station now. And so being able to bring them to Disney on Ice and to just be able to do that kind of on a whim, I think Jordan got an ad, and that's how we saw that there were Disney on Ice tickets in the area. And then we just did it that weekend. Just having the ability to do that, it's just like the first Christmas. It's just like the, it's, everything is a compound effect to where I'm chilling with this woman after we moved to Minnesota, and we're so broke that we're pouring Rice Krispies into an empty peanut butter jar. Man, it's super cool. Let's talk about how opposite these fucking girls are though, dude. Charlotte, now, Gracie's smart. And she's analytical, and she's reserved, and Charlotte's me. Okay, dude? Gracie's skeptical and observant, and Charlotte is me. Dude, my Lottie K is a bull in a china shop, okay? Gracie was easy. Gracie was easy because she was always the type of kid that, like, wanted to please us. Charlotte doesn't give a fuck. And I love that about her. Like, yeah, there's the side from, like, as a parent, as a dad, and you're like trying to discipline them, or you're trying to get them to listen to you, that you go like, "Hey, pay attention." You know, there's like that part of you where you're like, "God, hey, don't be a fucking shithead." You know, like there's that part of you that's like that, but then there's the part of you that's real, where you look at them from like an outside perspective and you go, yeah. You picture the next 30 years of your life and you go, yeah. Hey, don't take any shit and fuck pleasing people. You know, like there's that part of me that's like, hey, I'm your dad, pay attention. We don't act like that. Here's how to be a productive member of society. But also, at the same time, I am what I am, I'm a hooligan. Run this shit, okay? And I'm obsessed with it. I'm obsessed. And she's so fun. Like, her demeanor is silly. And she cannot reel it in. Like, she's the most playful little girl, dude. Like, she is always down. Make her laugh. That's her, dude. That's her whole demeanor 24/7. When she's not eating food, because she's my absolute unit tank, she's just in that, like, let's do something that'll make me laugh. Like, she is so playful. She can give a fuck about what you want to do. Make her laugh. That's what she wants to do. Lottie, do you want to sit down and color? Or do you want me to throw you in the air 150 times? Make me laugh. Lottie, do you want to sit with Sissy and watch Frozen? Or do you want to wrestle and get in a tickle fight? The latter, Dad. Always the latter. Always the opposite of what you want me to do so you can get stuff done. That's what I want to do. Okay? And, dude, you want to know what fucking broke me? It broke me. So Jordan and I, like I said, she's difficult in terms of just like discipline here, right? Like, so she's, you know, she's a kid. She's wild. She's crazy. She is constantly playing. She's constantly having a good time. But there's a lot of times where it's like the timing isn't calling for that and we need to reel it in, all right? And with any kid like that, she likes to push the boundaries because she loves to see reactions. Because she's not trying to please you, dude. Fuck your feelings, bro. She's not trying to please you. She's trying to get reactions, all right? And one of the things she likes to do is she likes to climb on our new couches, and the back cushions of the couches aren't sewn into the couches. So she just like, boom, kicks them off. And then she's doing jumps and stuff off of that, right? And we told her like, hey, we don't do that with those. If you want to do that, you grab those pillows, drag them over, and then you can jump off the couches there. Don't mess with the new couches. They're brand new. And they're also white because we're morons, okay? We have white couches with two little kids. It's because we're stupid. Because at the end of the day, when you put all of our cards on the table, we're dumb, all right? So, because we got white couches. But dude, there was this one time, okay? And this is since the move back to Idaho. Charlotte was on a tear, dude. She was hyper. She needed something. She needed attention. She needed food. But she was just being so wild and crazy and acting out. She was just, she was bowling a china shop. She was me. Okay, so Jordan told her not to do something. I can't even remember what it was, but it had to do with throwing something in the house, okay? And I'm sitting on one couch. So the way that our couch setup is we have a, like, you know, the three-cushion couch over here and then, like, the two-cushion, like, love seat type vibe over here and then a chair that matches off to the right side. And I'm sitting on the three-person couch. Lottie's on, like, the love seat two-cushion couch, and that's where she's doing her act-out shit. And Jordan tells her not to do something, and I look over at her, and Lottie goes right back into it, and Jordan goes, hey, like loud, right? Like, okay, time to crack down, and then, you know, I kind of let Jordan do her thing, and if it's not working, then I step in and assist, and vice versa. I'll do it, and Jordan lets me do my thing, and if it's not working, she steps in and assists so that both parents are showing a united front, because that's what we do. We show united fronts. And we get our kids to understand that we're not fucking kidding. Now, was I the best in the United Front at this point? No. Because here's what happened, okay? Jordan's like, hey, Charlotte. And she goes walking over. And I'm like 90% positive had to do with like playing with something she wasn't supposed to play with. And she was on the couch with it. And she was about to throw it or something like that. And Jordan grabs her hand that had the thing, and she goes, hey, and like pulls Lottie's attention to her eyes. And she said, I said, no, we don't do that. And when mommy says no, you listen. Do you understand? You know, because it was fed up. And that's how you have to be with Lottie a lot of the time in order for her to actually grasp that you're being serious. You know, you can't just be like, Lottie, let's please not do that. And she's like, well, that's not enough. And she pushes farther. So Jordan, like, is disciplining her in this moment. Now I'm sitting on the three cushion couch, and this is Charlotte, dude. Okay. I'm Charlotte. Jordan grabs her hand with the thing in it and pulls her over, and she goes, hey. Charlotte's looking at her. I can't even do this fucking story without it, with a straight face. So Lottie's looking right at her, And Jordan like says the thing like, when mommy tells you not to do something, you listen. You don't do it again. And right at the break of that sentence, Charlotte looks at me and goes like this. For my audio people, she moved her eyes around and smiled and opened her mouth and waved her tongue around at the same time. Like, ah. Our two-year-old openly mocked my wife, and it caught me so off guard that I couldn't show a united front, dude. I couldn't. It was impossible. Because what am I going to do? Charlotte, listen to your mother. No, I turned away and buried my face in a pillow cushion because there is a 0% chance that I was holding that one together. Charlotte, you listen to mommy. When I tell you to do something, you do it. You don't just do it again and not listen to what I told you. Ah. Bro, I folded. I folded. And the thing is, that's not great, okay? We all fuck up with our kids, okay? The thing that's not great that Lottie has picked up is that if she can make us laugh, the disciplining's over. And we're a laugh-happy family. We would never be able to film a sitcom because there would be too much money wasted in the blooper reel, dude. We're a laugh-happy family. So Lottie knows that now. So when she did that and she broke me, that made Jordan glance over at me and that broke Jordan, disciplining over, okay? And the thing with Lottie too is once the discipline will start, she'll make us laugh, the discipline will be over, and then Charlotte will stop doing it. It's almost like she's like, now that I've checked all my boxes, I'll stop doing what you didn't want me to do.
Bitch, I'm her.
Oh, I'm obsessed with that little girl. Another thing that happened when we moved back. So we moved back to a place that we had lived before, okay? I wrestled here in college, and so I have a lot of connections here when we moved back. And it's really cool to like rekindle those own friendships and rekindle those old relationships and just get back in touch with people in the area that, you know, this area was a very high success point for me when we were in it. And, you know, it has continued as such now that we're into full adulthood and parenthood and all that, which has been really, really nice. But getting back with these friendships and relationships and old teammates and stuff like that has been really cool. One thing that I didn't want to do was get like overly involved in any one thing until all of our T's were crossed and our I's were dotted. I wanted to make sure that we had everything established, we had our schedules in order, and everything was kind of flowing, you know, before I started committing to certain things. Like, for example, like Boone lives here. He's a head coach at a high school now. And he like wants me to come in and help with practices and stuff like that. Speaking of which, side note, dude, right now, Boone's wife Kaylee is having their first baby. She got induced, what time is it? She got induced 3 hours ago. 3 hours ago, she got induced. Boone and Kaylee are about to become parents for the first time right now. The Den's going to be an uncle. Just a whole bunch of fucking aunts and uncles. Y'all better be ready, okay? Y'all better be ready. I'm obviously not going to say their baby's name because that's so disrespectful. That's not my kid to say, but we're going to be a whole bunch of aunts and uncles right now, dude. And I'm so excited for them. I'm so scared for them because this is, oh shit, the most nerve-wracking time. It's our first baby. Keep them in your hearts. Keep them in your thoughts and prayers. And let's just put good energy into this birth being healthy and successful. Okay. So, but anyways, I didn't want to commit to anything until like my household was established and taken care of, rightfully so, right? But that didn't stop an old teammate of mine who is now the head coach at the college that I used to wrestle at from reaching out and asking if I would fill in as an announcer at a duel. Dude, he wanted me to jump on the mic and announce an entire fucking college wrestling duel, dude. It's something that I've never done. Did I do it? Yeah. And we'll talk about it. But dude, I can't tell you. But he like asked me to, and I was like, yeah, sure. Never done it before. I'm down with that. You know, what did I get on that one personality score? I'm like a three on the, I don't know, what's it called? I overthink things. I don't overthink things. Like I don't, no, that's not what it is. What was it? It was like, I don't worry about the outcomes of things. I think that things will generally work out and be okay. So I don't stress. I don't have anxiety. I have zero anxiety ever at all times. And it's nice. So I was like, yeah, I'll do it. Sure. I'll sit in front. I'll sit in a gymnasium full of people and be the voice for the duel. Did I fuck up? Twice. Okay. I fucked up twice and it's fine, dude. It was pretty basic. Now they changed the scoring in college wrestling since I was in there. And I was just kind of going off of my own experiences in wrestling. Takedowns used to be 2 points. Now they're three. I didn't know that till halfway through the duel. So every time there was a takedown, I would go two. Cause I didn't know, dude. My bad. And then, so that was the one fuck up, but I count that as one fuck up because it's a repetitive fuck up. You know, if you do one thing wrong and you do it multiple times, it's still just one mistake, you know, other than fucking that guy, stop doing that. But that's just a little note from Papa Cub. And then the other fuck up, the worst one though, was, so the parameters of it were, I kind of stayed quiet throughout the match. I let the cheers do the matches and stuff. And like, I didn't like talk. Like I wasn't like the guy that like, Dixon in on the legs, working to the corner, and he's got a takedown that puts the score at, you know, I wasn't that fucking guy because no, no, I basically would say like a little statement at the end of a match, like another win to the such and such team, you know, like the Northern Lights suffer another difficult loss there. And I would say the team score. So, and then I would lead into the next match. Okay, so pretty much as that match is ending and the wrestlers are shaking hands and one kid is getting their hand raised, I go into, and now coming up at 157 from, I would do that whole spiel, right? And the thing with that is I'm reading it from a paper. And the other thing with that is your man's is always wearing a hat, okay? So I'm looking down with a hat on. Now one match, the kid from my alma mater was getting throttled, okay? He was down by 13 points. For those of you that don't know wrestling, if you lose by 15 points, it's called a technical fall. The match is automatically over, and the other team gets 5 team points. So he's down by 13 points, and when there's such a high level of scoring in a match like that, it makes the match seem long. Let me just give you, like, for those of you that don't know, a real quick breakdown on wrestling. There's 3 periods. And then the match is over. Now, if the match is tied after 3 periods, then it'll go into overtime. But traditionally, that doesn't happen. There's 3 periods. But this match had 13 points put up against this one kid. And that made me feel in my mind, all right, this is college wrestling. No one really gets throttled all that bad anymore. So my brain just kind of did a little trickery. And after the second period, I thought the match was over. Not because I thought that match has ended after the second period. I thought it was the third period. So the ref blows the whistle to end the second period. I think it's the third period. I go, another. The kid's down by 13. I go, another 4 points to the Northern Lights. Coming up next at 157. And each announcement takes about a minute to get through. Bo Bagley and... from the blah, 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 Jesse Johnson. I get through the whole fucking thing and I look up and the whole gymnasium's looking at me. Because we still got another period. We still got another round. Now, I don't really get nervous in situations like that. I didn't get nervous. I had the mic and I looked up and I saw that and the ref was like, had his hands out like this, like, what the fuck are you doing? And I went, ah, shit, into the microphone. Okay, into the mic. And then I just kind of chuckled at myself with my head down and then they started the third period. And then I turn around and my wife and kids are about 6 feet behind me. They came to watch the duel and watch me announce. And I look at Jordan and my wife made sure to have my back and yell in the gymnasium so that that whole side of the gymnasium could hear it, you're embarrassing the family. So that all happened, and oddly enough, I haven't been asked back. Guys, I thought I was the announcer now. I thought I was the dude. I do one fuck up? Come on. But no, it was one of those things, like, it was fun to try it. It was fun to do it once, but don't want to. Also, don't think my voice is the right voice for an announcer, you know? Like, babe, you and I get along just fine because we're just chatting. But an announcer has to be like, coming up next at 1:57, you know? Like, it was fun. I will say, it was fun. I wasn't that good at it. But I would like to do like live commentating over like live YouTube streams or something like that. I could do something like that. But yeah, that's a fun little update for you. Now, I want to do some unqualified dad advice, but first I want to talk about last week's unqualified dad advice a little bit. That resonated with some of you, huh? That resonated with some of you so much that you left me amazing messages that I then talked with Jordan about, and then Jordan then asked to know exactly what I talked about, and then Jordan then asked to be on an episode of the podcast where we discuss it further. So that'll be coming up. I've learned my lesson in the past that I don't give time frames for things, but that will be coming up. Oh, but so challenge number one was the fast. Now, here's one thing I want from the Cubs, okay? If you guys could comment under the YouTube video ideas for challenges that you want me to do, and I'll do them, because this is like turning into my whole, I love challenging myself. So like a little challenge that I can try out, and then we can see what happens, and we kind of circle it back. Like, if you have any good challenge at all, or just something interesting where it's like, I want to see how he would handle this, or I want to, or this would be funny for him to do, tell me it. I want to know. If you got a challenge for Papa Cub, we're going to do it, and we're going to talk about it as the community, okay? And after the fasting video comes out on Friday, obviously next week, we'll talk more in depth about the actual experience as a whole, and we'll kind of dive in, but if you have challenges for me, let me have them, all right? But I wanted to read a response I got from a Cub from last, this was in the Unqualified Dad Advice subreddit. So they actually posted it there, and it was actually under a post where they said, oh, where has Pop-Up Cub gone? And then the body was something along the lines of like, haven't seen you in a while. Are you coming back? And it was 2 days after I released episode 100. So hey, you know, turn your notifications on, A. And B, I'm back. So under that one, they replied to last week's unqualified dad advice, and it really resonated with me, and it hit me. And I kind of wanted to read it to show, because there was something that Jordan said after I read it to her that I thought would also be important for, like, dude, we're 72% chicas. We're 72% bad bitch mamacitas on this podcast that listen in, okay? And I know that because I checked the analytics right before I started recording today. Okay, just to double check. If it resonated with my wife and she made the comment of, it's nice to know that other women are in that same boat, how could it not be validating to some of you listening to know that other women are still in the same boat? So I'm going to read this to you. So it says, quick update. I finally got to finish episode 100 this morning while on a very few hours of sleep. Sick 2-year-old, in parentheses, while on my way to the gym. I'm new to the gym and really uncomfortable, but I'm doing it anyway. Went this morning, was particularly hard getting up and going because it has been a rough week for sleep. And my silver lining was getting to listen to this episode. I've been feeling really invisible lately, like all the work I do as a mom isn't quantifiable and therefore goes unnoticed. The unqualified dad advice segment popped on and it literally brought me to tears in the gym parking lot. I know you were speaking from your experience as a husband with your wife, but just knowing someone sees the work moms put in shook me up pretty decently and led to a beautiful conversation with my husband later. And it woke me up and gave me the determination to take that hour and get in the gym. So just wanted to say thanks. So yeah, ladies, it doesn't go unrecognized, you know, and a lot of guys are not as vocal as me. And you know, if I'm being 100% honest, it's not like I articulate this type of stuff to my wife on a daily basis as I should. You know, she is aware of how impressive I think she is as a woman and like how good of a mom I think she is and how good of a wife I think. She's aware of it, but I don't say it as much as I should. But you're not invisible. Us dudes see it, you know. Us dudes see it. Us dudes that know what to appreciate see it and recognize it and know. And I think the biggest part of that little post right there that resonated with me was led to a beautiful conversation with my husband later. Ladies, if you need a little bit of recognition and validation, it never hurts to ask. Because I tell you what, if you got a halfway decent guy and you come to him with a vulnerable situation like that, where it's your heart being open to him, he's going to reciprocate it. As long, you know, let's be real. Us men, we can be kind of fucking sensitive, emotional bitches sometimes, and sometimes we're having a bad day. And a lot of times, you know, that comes off as selfish, but it's like, we see you. But so, you know, it's kind of like, you know, it's navigating a little jungle cat. Like, is he in the right temperament? Oh, which that's shitty. That's shitty. We all need to be better about that. But if you have a halfway decent guy who loves you, like, and you come with us and you want to talk about the struggles of motherhood and being a wife and how lonely it is, talk to him about it. Because I guess I don't know about all guys, but one thing that I love is knowing intricate details of my wife's inner psyche. I want to know how her brain's operating. I want to know how she thinks. I want to know what's in there, you know, because all we can do without that conversation is guess. And as dudes who were fucking morons, shout outs. What's up? Salute, brothers. How we doing? If nothing's getting brought up to us, we're going to assume everything's okay. But on that note, we're going to do some classic unqualified dad advice. Now, if you would like to ask an advice question on this podcast, go to Reddit. And there's a subreddit called Unqualified Dad Advice that's designated just for this podcast. And you can submit an advice question right there, and I will break it down and peel some layers back. It feels super intimate with me because I feel like I actually get to discuss things with actual people who listen. That's a problem for them. I love it. I'm obsessed with it. Now, am I qualified to answer these questions? No, hence the titling. So if you have a question you want to ask, you want my thoughts on something, go to the Unqualified Dad Advice subreddit and submit it there. And without further ado, let's get into episode 101's Unqualified Dad Advice. Now, if you're new here, when we do this the traditional way and we don't go from the Unqualified Dad Advice subreddit, we just go to the advice subreddit. And to keep any bias out of the equation, we scroll. And then we'll just stop at a random one and we'll read that one and we'll see if it's a winner or not. And if it's not a winner, we're going to roast the shit out of them. Welcome to the den. My dad left and now we're going homeless. What now? Probably not going to roast the shit out of this one. Perfect example of a non-roastable. Basically, my father took off to Mexico and left us with nothing. He said he would take care of the house payments while he was out. But all of a sudden, he blocked phone calls from all of us. We just received a call from the landlord yesterday that dad wasn't making the payments and he was to start the eviction process. My mom, 45, is already applying for a second job and I, 17, it's a boy, signed up for the army to help out. Shipping off January 5th. The short-term situation seems doomed. Any advice on how to navigate this? Nope. Because you're buckling down and doing what needs to be done. Now, if you can lean on family in times of trouble while you continue to drive forward, fuck yeah, keep doing it. But look at that. Your mom took out a second job. You're enlisting in the army. Both of those are rash decisions. Both of those are emergency decisions. But sometimes you got to do what you got to do to survive. And maybe the best possible things in your life will come from this, okay? So you didn't just buckle and accept defeat and, oh, now we're homeless and, oh, now, you know, let's just go begging on the street. You like, I'm almost proud of reading this because it's like, my mom's doing what she has to do. I'm doing what I have to do. And rather than looking at the whole situation as doomed, like you do, be a little bit more proud of you and your mom in this. Be proud of your mom's tenacity. Be proud of yourself as a son to be willing to sacrifice the remainder of your childhood in order to help support your mother when the reality of the world hits you. I mean, shitty dudes aside, right? Like, your dad's piece of shit. Oh, that's a giant piece of shit. I hope he ends up on a 17-car pile up on the freeway somewhere, okay? But this is a Rice Krispies and peanut butter situation. Where when your mom's 50 and you're 22, you can sit on a couch and watch some TV with your mom and hold her hand, and all you're doing right now is solidifying the relationship between you and your mother. You know that she's going to do whatever she has to do to take care of you guys. And she knows that she has a son that loves her so much that he'll always be there to support her in any way he can. Flowers in the desert, dude. There's no advice needed here. You're doing... Right now, it's doomed because there's no money. Money will come because of what you're doing. So keep on fucking pushing, dude. That was more inspiring than anything. And fuck that piece of... Oh, and then after you go in the army and you learn hand-to-hand combat and you get yourself in sick-ass shape, okay? Do a couple cycles of steroids. Just do it, you know? I don't... I'm just kidding. But get absolutely brick shithoused and turn yourself into a weapon, which they will do, okay? And then go find your dad in Mexico and have a conversation. That's what I would do. Hope that helps. Scroll. You don't need help. You're doing just fine. Scroll. Stop. Want to run away from home. Here we go. Now, for those of you that, like, maybe this is your first episode, when I run into a situation where a kid writes in, I try to envision myself talking to my daughters if I can. Like, if I can attribute it, that's what I try to do. And this says, want to run away from home. So I'm assuming. I am a 16-year-old male, and I live with my mom, who is 36. Popped you out when she was 20, huh? Just getting nutted in. So, and has borderline personality disorder. Now, another thing that you might need to pick up on, if you're new to the podcast, is a lot of times I'll do this, and then I'll talk shit, and then we'll read literally the next line, and I'll regret talking shit. And that just happened. And we've talked about this in past episodes where I go, maybe I should just read the whole thing so I can get the full breadth of knowledge and not judge line by line. But I'm a creature of habit. And we all make mistakes. So your mom's 36 and has borderline personality disorder, full stop. Let's continue on with the post. We have financially struggled our whole life and have lived in many different places. I think she is completely unfit to take care of me with how her mental state is and her general immaturity and how she is incompetent when it comes to parenting or solving any problem in general. The problem right now is that she wants to have another kid and is even teasing me that she could have twins. She's a fucking piece of shit that knows I don't want siblings. Okay, wow, made it about you so fucking quick, made it... That one line said so much more about you than it did her. Okay, the way you phrased that one line said so much more about you than it did her. She knows she's a fucking piece of shit and that I don't want siblings. Oh, let's run it back. Let's continue on. And I'm going to start back from the when she wants another kid. Okay, so we're going to flow through this. The problem right now is that she wants to have another kid and is even teasing me that she could have twins. She's a fucking piece of shit that knows I don't want siblings in this house, yet still pulls that shit because her boyfriend has some twin gene. She is actually fucking sick in the head. If we get two fucking kids in this house, you are going to go poor and hungry. She wants the downfall of our house. I need to get away from this house. By the way, no periods. You know, and another thing we don't like is bad grammar. He hasn't capitalized a single I. But I digress. I need to get away from this house. I don't know what to, because I'm going to do is either run to my grandpa's house or my best friend's house and try to live with them until an authority gets involved, or just tell a counselor or my therapist about the reality of my situation and get taken away from the house, because we've already had run-ins with the DCF and we are basically on our last strike. But I am just scared of making my mom. She plays around with my heartstrings. I don't want to see her sad or angry, but she's a fucking scumbag that doesn't care about my well-being. So I don't know why I fall for her trickery. I don't know what to do. I'm just so scared and such a pussy. When I know getting out of this house will fix my life, I don't know. sorry if this is written really frantically. I'm just pissed off. Well, you nailed the frantically part. Is how I felt through that whole fucking thing. Put a period in there. And also, don't write so frantically and capitalize something and use a comma. Maybe don't run away from home until you get a little bit better with school. But I digress. Dude, your mom has borderline personality disorder, or is that an inherited trait? Look into it. Okay, dude, because... chill. My one problem with this type of post is it all comes off as so, like, victim-y. It comes off as so, like, oh, this is all happening to me. My mom's a piece of shit. She's sick in the head. She's fucking twisted. Fuck my life. She's ruining my life. She's doing this to me. Do you have aspirations? You know, like, dive into that. You know how little I thought about my parents when I was in high school? Minimally. And I had good fucking parents. I had really, really good parents. And I thought about them almost none of the time. Because I was busy focusing on my shit. I had a lot of things that I wanted to accomplish that I wanted to be considered the best at. A lot of things. And that's what I was focusing on. And I had certain things that were going on inside the house that were angsty and tense, and there was disagreements. I mean, shit, I was a teenager. Like, fighting with your parents when you're a teenager is like peanut butter and jelly, baby gorgeous. It just happens. Okay, stop being so dramatic. I would say focus on yourself a little bit. Oh, your mom's fucked in the head and wasn't as attentive and nurturing as you think that she should have been. Okay, now what? Are you going to live a shitty life because of that? Or are you going to live a great life in spite of that? Like, come on, dude. At some point, you got to change your framework. I have a best friend. An absolute best friend. We only talk like 4 times a year because that's all we have to talk. We have kids that are the same age. We are both in the exact same boat. We met in high school. We didn't even play the same sports, like our favorite sports. His was football. Mine was wrestling. But during the wrestling season, he was a basketball player. He is my absolute best fucking friend to this day. Everything in his life was stacked against him. Everything. And I'm not going to get into specifics because it's not my place to do. But this kid should be a fucking drug addict or homeless or in fucking prison. And instead, he is a hyper successful, mature, loving husband and extremely attentive father in spite. I had everything that he didn't. And he is a better man than me. Doesn't sound like by this post you know your dad. He didn't know his. I really want to say specifics to hammer this home, and maybe I would if this was an actual cub that wrote in, but since it's not, I'm not going to. But it would really hammer the fucking message home. Just trust me on this. His childhood experience and life experience until getting out of fucking high school stacked every single deck against him, and he is the most impressive dude I know, and I love him with all my fucking heart. So I don't want to hear a pity party about how your mom might give you siblings. Oh, the fucking audacity. Oh, she's tough to deal with. Oh, she has borderline personality disorder, so you can't trust her fully. I get it, dude. It's tough. I understand. But one thing that you're going to realize, especially 4 years from now, is our parents are just fucking people. They are just as flawed as you are, if not more, because they've had more life experience, so they've had more time to fuck up. And the biggest fall from grace is when you enter adulthood and your parents fall off of that pedestal. And it is going to happen because it's the way of life. Get to it now. Get to it now. Get to the point where you can see your mom as just a fucking person. Because we're all fucked and we're all just trying to figure this out. And none of us live up to our full potential. And none of our parents are exactly who we thought they were. Love them in spite of it. And pursue your own shit, because life can either happen to you or you can live your life, dude, because The victim shit never pays off for anybody. The victim shit, life's happening to me. My mom's a giant piece of shit. How dare she want to get impregnated by a guy? It's like, come on, man. It's time to buckle up your fucking backpack, learn how to put periods in sentence, and get to work for yourself. All right, dude. Best of luck. Hope that helped. Next. Scroll. This will probably be the last one. Thanks for clicking in, Cubs. Stop. Should I go to my parents' house for Christmas? It is 2 or 3 weeks away from Christmas, and my mother just said to me on the phone, your brother asks if you're going to be here for Christmas, and I'm troubled. And it troubled me because I want nothing to do with him. He's 25 and lives with both my parents, who are in their 60s. I'm 19 and live in an apartment paid in rent by my parents. Okay. As I grew up, I undergone a lot of sexual and mental abuse from my sibling and others who were my sibling's friends. My parents know. No more reading required. No. You don't have to go. A, your parents enabled the worst possible behavior that could be enacted under their roof, and now want you to pretend to sweep it under the rug? There's very few situations I say this in, but cut them off completely. That's fucking insane. That's asinine. Also, join the army, learn hand-to-hand combat, turn into a weapon, and then go find your brother. Because that's something that's the one thing that I can't even like talk about or joke about because I just get enraged. And I feel like that's rightfully so. I feel like that's a normal reaction. I'm never going to be able to be the guy to talk someone through sexual abuse because I have a good control of my emotions, except for when it comes to that. I can't watch shows that involve it. I can't watch, like, it just sends me into a fucking tailspin, and I can't help with this, and I'm sorry. And kind of like the last one, if this was a cup, I would probably try. But this shit, man, like, I don't know. Show up with a gun. Yeah, go to Christmas, show up with a gun. Go to Christmas, show up with a gun, put the problem to rest, because that's fucking disgusting and insane. So anyways, I guess we'll end on that note. Sorry. And that's what you get when you don't write in, Cubs, okay? When you don't submit your own advice to Unqualified Dad Advice, we're up for the random horrors that are on the internet, and that just is what it is. If you would like to shape the ending of these episodes a little bit more, please submit some advice on the Unqualified Dad Advice subreddit. Or leave a comment under the YouTube video if it's not something too personal. I do it on the subreddit because it's pretty friggin' personal. But give me a challenge. Go buy some merch at the new cheerupbabe.shop. If you got a mans that likes to golf, go check out Shank It Golf and enter promo code OGCUB at checkout for 15% off your entire order. Also, please review the podcast. Let's see, do I have any more begging questions? No. Thanks for coming to the den for another week. I'm so glad that we're back rolling on this every single Monday. It's the highlight of my week. I hope it's one of the highlight of yours. And I hope to see you next time. So go out there. Don't be a bummer. And cheer up, babe.